Hey, welcome back, LifePoint DriveCast listeners. My name is Paul Pretty, the student and college young adult pastor at our Delaware location. This past Sunday, we wrapped up the Esther series that we've been going through over the past several weeks, calling it Tightrope, and looking at the big idea that God is all-powerful, and yet we are all accountable. And in this past Sunday, where we landed on was the initiation or the inauguration of the Feast of Purim. And to get there, we read chapter 7, we read some of chapter 8, we read chapter 9 and how God really fought alongside the Jews to defeat the enemies that rose up against them. It was just an incredible image of once again God being in the details. And then from there, there is a celebration, a feast, a two-day feast where the Jews remember the salvation that they've been given by God. And this is a celebration that continues to this day. It's been happening for over 2,400 years, which is pretty incredible. If you'd like to join in next, it's March 16th and 17th, 2022. So put it on your calendar. But in all seriousness, I just found it really interesting that the name of this feast is not the Feast of Esther or the Feast of Mordecai or the Feast of the Decree or the Edict. It's the Feast of Purim, which points back to what we see happen in Esther chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, "In the 12th year of the King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, they cast the pur, that is the lot, in the presence of Haman to select a day and month. And the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar." And the reason this is important is because Haman was essentially submitting the rolling of the dice, if you will, to the gods, right? To chance. And ironically, only the one true God, the living God, can control the way the dice fall, the way the lots land. And it was God's sovereign control over that moment that gave just the right amount of time for Mordecai to give Esther the world's greatest pep talk and say, "Look, God has placed you here for such a time as this." And it gave enough time for Esther to plan these banquets, and it gave enough time then to reveal the plot of Haman, and for Haman to be impaled on the very poles that he set up to impale Mordecai on, which is just incredible irony. And it foreshadows the cross, that Jesus defeats Satan on the very instrument of death that Satan has created, which is just so incredible. This it all goes back to the lots, and it gave enough time for the edicts to be written that would empower the Jews to fight back against those who were in Persia who hated the Jews. And so I think the fact that the Jews chose to make this celebration and name it after Purim speaks to a very large view of God and a very large view of the sovereignty of God, which I think naturally begins to challenge us to think, well, do we have a large view of God? Because again, only God can determine how the lot falls. Only God can determine which number comes up on the die. No one else and nothing else can. And that, again, it reveals a very large view of God. But for us, I think oftentimes what begins to happen is we really relegate God to Sunday morning or to Wednesday or Thursday evening when we go to life group. And we sort of place God in a corner, in a category of our lives. And when that happens, we close off and we shut our eyes to seeing his activity in the everyday moments of life. We fail to see what God might be doing as we're mowing our lawn and we see our neighbor getting frustrated that his grill won't start. Like we miss out on these moments when we relegate God to the sidelines and God to just a couple of hours a week. And so what I challenged our people was to say, what would happen in our lives, in the life of the church, in the life of Delaware or of Lewis Center or Westerville or Marion? What would happen in Central Ohio and the rest of the country and the world if we committed to asking and pleading with God that he would open our eyes to his activity all around us? Because God is working. God's providence is always present. He is providentially ruling over the universe. He is controlling the flight of electrons and the movements of galaxies. Like, he is in control, which means he's always moving, which means he's always active, which means in our everyday lives, there is always opportunity to step into the moment, like Esther did, and be a part of his Christ-exalting work. And maybe that means you get to be a part of a salvation story for someone else. And so the way I think that we can begin to foster that kind of mindset in our own lives is by first remembering what God has done, because that's really what the Feast of Purim is all about. It's annually, repeatedly, consistently remembering the salvation that God has given. And as we remember the salvation that God has given, our eyes are open to the work that God is doing today and the work that God will do tomorrow. And so as we do that, we begin to, I think, change the way we see the world. And as a result, we begin to be instruments in God's hands in the everyday moments of life. And so my challenge for you this morning is to take time and pray and ask God, God, would you help me as I go into work today? Or as I'm dropping the kids off at school, or as I'm doing whatever you're doing today, God, would you help me see where you're active? And help me join in your activity to be used as an instrument ultimately for your glory and for my good. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then I want to give you time to pray as well. And I just want to say thanks again for joining us today, and we'll be back tomorrow with the Drivecast. So let's pray together, and then you'll pray to close. Father, we ask and beg of you that you would open our eyes to see your activity all around us. And Father, maybe for some of us, that means we need to first take a step back and remember the salvation that you've given us through Jesus. Not a temporary salvation that we see in the story of Esther, but a permanent salvation that lasts and sustains us throughout all eternity. And Father, help us see your activity that led to our salvation in the past, and therefore help us be open to your activity in the present and in the future. But God, we need you to do that. So would you send your Spirit to open our eyes, to help us see, and to give us the courage to step into the moment and to trust that you are working, that you are good, that you are faithful, and that you will glorify yourself. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name.